Good morning. We will discuss briefly the halachas of Erev Tavshilin, give a little bit of a background, and discuss more of the halacha lamaisa, practical halacha of how a person has to prepare an Erev Tavshilin when Shabbos follows immediately after Yom Tov, either Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, as we have this year, on Rosh Hashanah, and then Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres. Sometimes you could have Friday Shabbos, Yom Tov, first day of Yom Tov, from Friday and Shabbos. So coming up, we have Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, that we'll be making an Erev Tavshilin. And everybody knows, they've heard somewhere the Gemara says that if you forget twice, then you're really stuck. So let's get it right the first time, at least Rosh Hashanah, and see how the halachas come out. We understand if a person makes an Erev Tavshilin, an Erev Yom Tov, so then he's allowed to cook on Friday, which is Yom Tov, for Shabbos. Assuming Friday is a weekday, we prepare our food for Shabbos. Now Friday is a Yom Tov, are we allowed to prepare our food for Shabbos on Yom Tov? So the Chacham instituted this Erev Tavshilin. If you make an Erev on Erev Yom Tov, you could cook something before Yom Tov, already for Shabbos. This is if you're starting the preparations for Shabbos. According to one sheet in the Gemara, that's how it works. Then you can cook from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Now, it's obvious that if it would be usher to cook Midaraisa from Yom Tov to Shabbos, if the Torah prohibited a person to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, then the Chacham can't come along and say, well, you just put an egg and a matzah, abracadabra, now you can cook from Shabbos to Yom Tov. That can't work. That can't work. The Chacham don't do such a thing, to just sidestep an Issa D'Oraisa. So it's obviously, we're obviously assuming that it's mutter M'D'Oraisa to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. And here lies a fundamental machlekes brought in the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis between Rabba and Rav Chista. And there's a very crucial nafkaminis between the two shittas, so let's get it clear what the two shittas are. Rabba holds that really Yom Tov may not prepare for Shabbos, just as you can prepare from Yom Tov to a weekday. If Yom Tov was on Tuesday, you can't cook for a Wednesday night Sheva Brachas, and Wednesday is Chol. So too, you can't cook from Shabbos, from Yom Tov, which is Friday, for Shabbos as well. It's Aser M'D'Oraisa. If a person would do that, the Gemara says, he gets Malkus for doing an Iser Malacha. Even though he's cooking for Shabbos, he gets an Iser Malacha. So what does Rabbah hold? The Rabbah says like this, that if I cook on Yom Tov, it could very well be, there's a possibility, that somebody may come over to my house who hasn't yet eaten his Yom Tov meal. Let's say he was stuck in the hospital the whole Yom Tov morning till the afternoon. It's now Yom Tov afternoon, Friday afternoon, and he didn't eat as soon as Yom Tov yet. So I'm preparing, cooking food. This could very well be actually for Yom Tov, not for Shabbos. That's this famous svara of Hoyel. Hoyel v'mikle archim. Since guests may come to visit me, I'll have the food ready for my guests to eat. So Rabbah is making that assumption that any time I cook on Yom Tov, in this case on Friday afternoon, I have the svara of Hoyel, since my guests may come, therefore it's considered I'm cooking for Yom Tov. So this way, from a Torah standpoint, M'D'Oraisa, this cooking is considered Yom Tov cooking. Midrabanan, they said, but if you really, your intent is really to cook for Shabbos, we are going to prohibit your cooking, even though you're right from a Midrashic standpoint, from a Torah standpoint, this is an okay cooking because maybe guests will come and that should be permissible. The Rabbanan still said, we're going to prohibit this unless you do something to in this case, make an Erev Tavshilin, to show that you've already started your Shabbos cooking from before Yom Tov. Right? That's the Erev Tavshilin according to Rabbah. That's what it's taking care of. It's taking care of that, the Rabbanon, of cooking. Rav Chista has a different approach. Rav Chista's approach is, no, really, Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yomtiv. Really, he holds Midoraisa, Yomtiv is allowed to prepare for Shabbos. Various reasons of the Rishonim why that is. Rashi over there in Pesachim says, because it's Kedusha Achasi. Yomtiv and Shabbos could be looked at as one, and therefore, just like Yomtiv could prepare for itself, Yomtiv could also prepare for Shabbos. So according to Rav Chista, Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yomtiv. So that's why Midoy Raisa, it's mutter to cook on Yomtiv on Friday afternoon. For Shabbos, according to Rav Chista, it's mutter to cook because Yomtiv is allowed to prepare for Shabbos. However, the Rabbanim were fed like this. Yomtiv is not allowed to prepare for a weekday. If Yomtiv was Tuesday, you would not be allowed to cook for your Wednesday night Sheva Brachas. So you just cook a few extra pans of chicken to have for the Wednesday night Sheva Brachas, which is a weekday. That's also Midoraisa. A person will get Malkus if he does such a thing. So the Chachom were concerned that if we allow you to prepare from Shabbos, from Yomtiv to Shabbos, you may come also prepare from Yomtiv to a weekday. In order to prevent that, they said you have to make a hecker. You have to do something different that will be noticeable, that this preparation on Yomtiv is only for Shabbos, and therefore you realize you can't prepare from Yomtiv to the weekday. Fine. So it seems like everybody's in agreement. Midoraisa, somehow you're allowed to cook from Yomtiv to Shabbos. Midrabbanan, there was some concern over here not to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, not to cook on Friday afternoon Yom Tov for your Shabbos meals. And Erev Tavshilin just takes care of it. So even though some of us are confused exactly who holds what and why he holds what, should make no relevance to it because you know you could cook now from Friday afternoon Yom Tov for Shabbos. As long as you have the Erev Tavshilin. Oh. But here's the catch. If you realize that you have to know what the reasons are. Why? Because if you go with the reason, like Rav Chista, the second reason we said, that really Yom Tov is allowed to prepare for Shabbos. So then, any time on Friday afternoon, even late on Friday afternoon, like a normal Friday afternoon, let's say, where a woman would put up the challant for Shabbos day, well, she'll put it up, let's say, a half hour before Shkia. It's not for now, it's for tomorrow afternoon, it's for tomorrow morning, for Shabbos. So put it up right before Shabbos. And according to Rav Chista, Midday Raisa, why is that mutter? Because Tzorchei Shabbos Nasim B'Yomtiv, because Midday Raisa, I'm allowed to cook from Yomtiv to Shabbos. And Midrabbanan, they said Erev Tavshilin. I did an Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yomtiv. But according to Rabbah, what's the whole rationale why Minat Torah I'm allowed to cook on Friday afternoon for Shabbos? The only reason is why? Because Hayol Vik Miklei Orchim, because maybe guests will come. So say the Achrayim, right, Tosfos mentions this. Yeah, the Achrayim is explaining the meaning, right? Tosfos right in the beginning of Beyah says, so then that will only help if it's feasible to say that your food will be ready in time when the guests come. But if you're cooking so late in the afternoon that even if guests show up, you won't be able to feed them because your food won't be ready, you won't have that heter. Based on this concern, based on this taisis, then we have a big machlokes rishayna who we passing like, Rabbah or Rav Chista. And as many times in halacha we try to cover our bases, we try to follow the halacha according to all opinions. So therefore, say the paiskim that you should make sure that if indeed you're cooking on Friday afternoon for your Shabbos meals, whether it's for Friday night or Shabbos day meals, you should make sure to cook it enough in advance, enough early enough in the day on Friday, that it is indeed ready by Friday afternoon. And a Friday afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, if guests would show up, you would have food ready for them to eat. And this, the Magen Avraham says, he was so concerned about this, he says, the minig became that when you have a Yom Tov falling out on Friday, and then Shabbos, that Friday night is Shabbos, the minig became that we make early Shabbos. People always have a shiloh. You don't make early Shabbos when it's Yom Tov. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to sort of advance Shabbos and bump off Yom Tov. It's like not Yom Tov anymore. It's now Shabbos. The Magen Avraham says this was a regular practice that they used to do. They used to make early Shabbos on a Friday, which is Yom Tov. Why? Because if the the woman knows that her husband went early to shul and he's coming home early, she says, oh, it's going to be Shabbos already early. So therefore she'll make sure to cook everything early enough. There'll be no questions, and certainly everything will be prepared well in advance if any archim, if any guests would show up. So that's the really the major nafkamina between Rabbah and Rav Chisda, that according to Rabbah's Shita, which again we try to keep it if we can, that is if the food has to be prepared ahead of time. Now I'll just mention one kasha for the Lamdonim. Kasha that Rav Shlomo Zalman asks, and he doesn't have a teretz for. Rav Shlomo Zalman asks, based on this Magen Avraham, the Bi'aloch, and it says you have to make sure the food is prepared. He said, if you're cooking your food, even if it's late Friday afternoon, and the food is not ready, you put in some chicken into the oven, and it's now baking, and it'll be a few hours before it's ready. And all of a sudden, guests would show up. It's not ready. It's only a quarter of the way cooked. It's not ready. According to Rabbah, you're not allowed to do such a thing. Rav Zalman says, why not? Why not? What's the whole problem? I need the svar of hoyel. I have to make sure that if guests come, I'll be able to serve them. If guests show up, what will I do? I'll say, listen, you know, here's a forest spice, here's some cantaloupe, here's a fruit salad, and your chicken will be ready soon. And I'll go to the kitchen, turn up the flame in the oven, and they'll be ready. So my cooking is still gives me a chance to serve them. He says, even unless it's too late, it's too late to do that anymore, to be able to turn up the flame. So good, so I'll take it. And my neighbor kept on his barbecue already with a new full tank. Kept this barbecue on. I'll take my chicken, which already is not raw anymore. It's softened up in my oven. Take it over to his barbecue. Put it on the barbecue. Give my guests roasted chicken. Barbecue chicken. So that's what Shlomo Zalman's are. I mean, why the place is more concerned? Don't do that. You always have an eitzah. He said, you have an eitzah. Either you turn the flame up, or take the piece of meat out of the fire. You're right. So if it's a chalent in a crock pot, and it's slow cooking, it's going to be a little hard to convince your neighbor to allow you to pour the chalent on his barbecue, to be able to have sullied the chalent, roast the chalent to serve your guests. Equally as hard to convince your guests to eat it. But in that case, not. But why would you say a blanket rule? You always have to have it ready. It would seem by a piece of meat, chicken, you would be able to prepare it even if guests come. Another nafkamina the Marshal says in the beginning of Beya is that Tosfos really says that nowadays it's very uncommon that a person would have unexpected guests. It could happen, but even according to Rabbi, it would seem there has to be some possibility. Even if it's not a common, but to say there will be a milsa de leishchicha, that all of a sudden someone unexpected would show up at my door, when was the last time that happened to anybody? And the late afternoon, that someone would show up unexpected, who didn't yet eat a Yom Tov meal, and I'd have to feed him the Yom Tov meal. So therefore, based on that, you have another problem where really this svar of hoyel, that maybe guests will come, should take care of the Isser de'iraisa. And therefore, obviously we're going to rely on Rav Chista's sheet. But nonetheless, that's the first concern, to make sure we follow both shittas, and therefore any food that's prepared should be prepared enough in advance that it's ready on Friday afternoon.
Only cooked or just
Michael Ben Rusai? Yeah. Shlish Bishula even. Now we know that Erev Tavshilin only is needed to allow me to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. If I want to cook food or bake food on Friday, which is Yom Tov, for Shabbos, then I need Erev Tavshilin to allow me to do that, as we just explained according to the two Shitas Rabban of Chista. What if I am so prepared, I'm so organized, that I don't have to cook anything? Everything is prepared. Everything is ready. Everything has been cooked beforehand, everything's prepared, just has to be maybe thawed out and to warm itself up, and I don't have any cooking to do from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Do I then have to make an Erev Tavshilin? always say, listen, you don't have to cook, you don't have to bake for Yom Tov. What's the reason to make an Erev Tavshilin? Do I have to make an Erev Tavshilin in that case?
Would that be probably in the Gemara base that gives it two reasons for Erev Tavshilin? If it's, you should remember to have the money up for Shabbos, then you would think, yes. If it's to tell you it's an exception, you're cooking on Yom Tov is an exception, then no.
Yeah. Look, that could be a nafka mina, but you know, it's interesting, you don't see the nafka mina brought in the Paisim.
No, it's throwing it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Could one sheet in the Gemara in Bay in the second parak says that the reason why you have the Erev Tavshilin is actually because there was a concern. If you cook it so much for a whole day of Yom Tov or 2 days of Yom Tov, you may not save anything good for Shabbos. So they said, listen, start before Shabbos already making that Michael Choshev, that Mana Yotha for Shabbos. Maybe for that reason, but no one says that that would be a chiyuv to make an Erev Tavshilin. There are some, Rav Moshe Shtenbrock writes in his Maimonim Zmanim, that he found that there's a mitzvah to make an Erev Tavshilin. Now, a person can be fooled. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Tavkuf Chav Zayin Siv Zayin, mitzvah kol adam la'arev. No, you see, it's a mitzvah to make an Erev. That l'chera doesn't mean that. That just means if a person does need an Erev Tavshilin, don't rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin, but it's a mitzvah to make yourself. But what if a person doesn't have to make, doesn't have to any cooking to do? Does he still need an Erev Tavshilin?
Isn't heating up
even hachana? No, because as we'll see, hachana, it's only when you actually do a malacha. As we'll see, the Erev Tavshilin is only to permit malachas to be done from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Merely hachana things, when don't involve malacha, don't require an Erev Tavshilin. Again? No, what? No, oil is only to be when I have a malacha de rice, if I'm cooking on Yom Tov to Shabbos. I'm not cooking on Shabbos. I'm just... No, so I don't need to come onto that svara. That's only if I want to cook, then I'll use the svara, then maybe guests will come. But I don't... The Gemara never required me to worry about guests coming. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, what's the shaila?
I was saying, if you're going to make an Erev Tavshilin with the knowledge that I don't need anything for Shabbos, is a bracha l'atala. Obviously it's not. So right, we're making a bracha on the mitzvah.
So the truth is, we forgot about one thing that we always have to do, even if we're all prepared and organized and don't have to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. What's that?
Light candles.
Right? We still have to light candles on Yom Tov, on Friday afternoon, for Shabbos. So how do you do that? So that's not so simple, because here, there's a machlekes rishonim, whether that requires... In Sif Yotes, Mechaber brings Machlekes Rishonim, whether that requires an Erev Tavshilin. Mishala Erev, Muta Lahadlag Ner Shal Shabbos, V'yesh Eishim. That's a Machlekes, do you need an Erev Tavshilin to permit you to light the Shabbos candles or not? Lamais, if that was the only thing that a person had to do, it would seem, as the Kaf HaChaim says, that he should make Erev Tavshilin without a bracha. In that case, do it without a bracha. So that's what's interesting about a tshuva Rav Moshe has. Yeah.
Why doesn't it be a problem? Both if the food is, it's not ready immediately. As soon as you light the candles, you get them off. Even if for 10 seconds, the last light candles...
Oh, that's a good svar, Danny. So that's actually, the Aruch HaShulchan explains, that's the reason of the first sheet, the why, even if you didn't make an Erev, you can still light the candles. Right. That's good for his svar. Their svar is, says the Aruch HaShulchan, is that since I have already benefit on Yom Tov itself, so therefore you don't have to say it's preparing for Shabbos, because I already have benefit from Yom Tov. Any benefit from light that I have in Yom Tov is going to be permissible on Yom Tov. You could declare nowadays that we have 1,000 watts of chandelier bulbs or fluorescent light in our dining room. I don't really have hana as it was before electricity. So you could say nowadays you don't have that svara anymore. But it's still a machlokes. So, Rav Moshe Netshuva, this is in Aruch Chaim Chelek Hei, Simen Chav, Ois Chav Vav, where he was asked, is there a mitzvah? Is there a particular mitzvah to make an Erev Tavshilin, even though you really don't need to do any cooking? And he proves from Magen Avram, we'll speak out to Magen Avram soon, that indeed there's no mitzvah to make an Erev Tavshilin. And if you don't have to, you don't make an Erev Tavshilin. But what's strange about the Tshuva, he says, so if you don't, if you prepared everything, Im Yochin HaKol Me'er Yom Tov, Le'itzar La'atzei Erev Tavshilin, Im Yesh Le'gam Ne'er Es Delukin, So then, would you need to make an Erev Tavshil or not? So I'm not sure how he got around the problem of having to light candles from Yom Tov to Shabbos. You have Neiris Dalukim from where? From Erev Yom Tov? And you're not... Right, so you're not going to be lighting candles? You'll take from that. So I'm not sure what case he's talking about. We already had lights, unless he's talking about someone who relies on the electricity, so he doesn't light, but I don't know. Not sure about it. But Lamaisi says like this. Even if someone wouldn't need, he says, if you would ask, Sarach vade loimeloi, she yoyse tev she yoyse lasse sev tashilin, kadeh she lo yoyse mizeh kilkul. Because if he doesn't make an Erev Tavshilin this Yom Tov, next Yom Tov, when he really does need to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, he'll forget. He said, well, last time I didn't make it. Right? So it won't be in his mind, and he may come not to do it when he really does. So if Ramesh says, as a practical matter, if somebody asks the Rav should tell him that indeed, you should always make an Erev Tavshilin. That sounds like for Ramesha, you shouldn't make the Erev Tavshilin with a bracha. Which also is a little bit problematic, because if I really don't need, and the only thing I have to do is lighting candles, that we saw already, you should not make a bracha. Okay. Next item. As we've been saying, what do you need an Erev Tavshilin for? To allow you to cook, or bake, or do any food preparations which are usur, which are a malacha, bayrer, teichain, to allow that from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you need an Erev Tavshilin. Does an Erev Tavshilin help for other things? See, here's another machlokes Rishonim, actually brought in Siman Tav Kuf Chaf Ches. The next Siman, whereas a machlokes, does the Erev Tavshilin help for other things? What are other things that a person has to do from Yom Tov to Shabbos that doesn't involve cooking, doesn't involve food preparations?
Cleaning.
So here the Shulchan Aruch Rav says an interesting thing, that anything that has to do with the Seuda, washing dishes with hot water, setting the table, let's say, all those things which go into the meal preparations are included in Tzarkei Seuda, and that will be Mutter. But a very practical case where we don't come on to preparation of food, but yet is preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos, is the Malacha of Hitzah. Am I allowed to bring a machzor? Am I allowed to bring a sefer on Erev Shabbos on Yom Tov to use for Friday night? I'm preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbos. I'm using Yom Tov to prepare for Shabbos. Now, obviously, you don't have that lecheru would be the problem. So. Yeah, I was just thinking that. Do you have hoyle over there? Hoyle of somebody, or myself, I would have to use that sefer, right?
You might as well use it.
So if you use it, then for sure it's mutter. There's no achana. But could you use the svar of hoyle to permit it? So the truth is, this is really a different issue, because since this doesn't really involve a... This is really only involves a achana. Like we said before, only a hachana, not really a malacha.
Even if you used it as a haram, then I don't know if it's safe if you could have said, but if you did something as a harama, right, Rabba does not permit that necessarily. You can't argue that for sure if I just used it as a harama. It's only Rav Chista that allows that. You know, the Gemara there argues about the Mishnah and Beah.
Okay.
Killing the animal. It's only Rav Chista allows a harama. Rabba doesn't, you have no proof that he allows a harama to prepare from things. So you have to really use it, not just, I use it for a second, or I use, you know.
Yeah, but I'm saying you don't even have to come on to Hail. Why? Because even the whole Shail of Rabbi Rachis is only when you're doing Malacha. You're doing Bishul. But if you're doing a Tikkun Ba'alma, if you're doing Hachana Ba'alma, and that's why the Paisim speak out, you're allowed to, let's say, fold your clothing from Yom Tov to Shabbos. That you're allowed to do. You're preparing. Let's say the Gabe has to roll the Sefer Torah from the Yom Tov laning to the Shabbos laning. Is he allowed to do that on Yom Tov afternoon? So with an Erev Tavshilin, you're for sure allowed to do that. So he's to be in El Chashabbos in Beis. That you're allowed to do that. The Erev Tavshilin certainly would permit to do Dvarim that only Hachana. So that's why certainly if there's an Erev, which is something that you'll be allowed to do it on Shabbos, you're allowed to do Haitzah on Shabbos when there's an Erev, certainly you're allowed to do it from Yom Tov to Shabbos as well. Yeah, that's more being mechin from Yom Tov to Choyl, right? So that's not an Erev Tavshilin issue. Yeah, so there you have to come on to the Ramah in Hilchus Yom Tov that says if you're worried that we get the lost or stolen, so then you could take it home. Or certainly if you need it there, someone else needs it, then that'll be you have to take it home. Just practically speaking, what items do you need to prepare for Erev Tavshilin? Because I think some people get confused. They know you need two items, but really you don't need two, you really need one according to Beis Hillel. So we take, the minig is to take a Tavshil, something cooked, either a piece of meat, a piece of fish, cooked fish, or a cooked egg, which is most practical. And you set it aside as the Erev Tavshilin. Now, that egg, what's best maybe is just to mark it. I don't know if you should write on it, then it's a shayla of mechika on Shabbos rather when you eat that egg. But at least just draw a line that you know it's the Erev Tavshilin egg, so this way it doesn't get eaten before Shabbos, before the end of Yom Tov on Friday, because otherwise you won't be able to cook anymore. So you have an egg, and then you also have a baked item. Now the ikar is the Tavshil. If someone has a tavshil, then he could cook and bake. If someone only has the baked item, he forgot about the tavshil, but he set aside a piece of matzah that won't allow him to cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. So you have to have a tavshil. You have to have that cooked item. You have to have the egg. And best to set aside an egg and a piece of matzah. Set aside in a place so you know that you'll have it through until Shabbos. The Paiskim speak out, since one mitzvah was done, you made the Erev, you should do another mitzvah with it, use it for Lecha Mishnah, again, making sure you keep it separate, use it as Lecha Mishnah, and then eat the matzah or the challah, and eat the egg or the fish on one of the Seudahs of Shabbos. This happened a few years ago. We came on Friday afternoon for Mincha, and we're about to start Mincha, and someone came over and says, "Oh, he forgot to make Erev Tavshilin." Now, about to start Mincha, he didn't make Erev Tavshilin. What should he do? Should be Semich on the Rav.
This was Friday afternoon?
Friday afternoon. I'm sorry. Erev Yom Tov. Erev Yom Tov, yeah. Thank you. Correction. Erev Yom Tov came to shul and didn't make an Erev Tavshilin yet. So what do you do?
You can be set up on the Rav as long as the Rav had it in mind.
All right, so...
He can make it off tonight, no? The Lord has to make it off tonight.
On Yom Tov, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would work out. So that's one Eitzah. If it's a 2-day Yom Tov, let's say Thursday and Friday, not Rosh Hashanah. Right. So you can make this tonight, that if on Yom Tov you make the Erev, that really if this is weekday, I'm making it for tomorrow. If tomorrow's weekday, then it will work for then. But Rosh Hashanah doesn't work. So what do you do? Erev Rosh Hashanah, you come to Shul, you're all ready, and then, the guy sitting next to you says, I didn't make Erev Tavshilin. What should I do?
If he has food for Shabbos, that's not the issue. Then he can
decide. So he doesn't need to cook.
Right.
Yeah, doesn't need to cook. Hey, you have issues maybe then Hoitzel, he'll have to carry things. He has to always be cognizant of that. So, the first thing you should do is go home and make an Erev Tavshilin. That's the simple thing. The Magen Avraham says, well, what happens if he's going to go home and he's going to miss Mincha Betzibur? He's going to miss Tefila Betzibur if he goes home. So what should he do? So the first thing to do is, Magen Avraham doesn't give this Eitzah, is he should call his wife. Call his wife and tell her, take an egg, a tavshil, and take a baked item, a matzah, put it aside as Erev Tavshilin. In that case, she should make the bracha. If she make the bracha and say the nusach, that's best to do. Then he have tefshilin, no problem. Certainly, shluchah shalom kemoitzay, you certainly could do that. What if your wife already lit candles? She lights, let's say, erev yom tov beforehand. So what do you do then? So the Magen Rav says, so you should go home. But he says, if you go home, you're going to miss tefillah betzibur. Don't go home. The Rav Moshe says, from this you see We mentioned Rav Moshe Schwartz says not a mitzvah. From this moment of Ram says Rav Moshe, you see that it's not a mitzvah to make an Erev Tavshilin. Why? He says it was a mitzvah to make an Erev Tavshilin. How can the Mogen Ram say don't go home and mitzvah the mitzvah? Havadi, you have to go home. You have a mitzvah to do. You should go home then. You don't. It's obviously not a mitzvah. So what could you do in that case? So we said, number one, you can call home. If you can't go home, so then what you could do is, the person who lives, let's say, 0.2 miles from the shul you're in, as he lives right next to the shul, you can go to his house. And he can give you a tavshil and a baked item, let's say a piece of matzah and an egg, and you set the Erev in his house. It's no problem, because if you want on Yom Tov, you can go to his house and get it. So that's your Erev. It's also another practical etzah. You just go to someone who lives close to the shul. If all else fails, and you can't do that, so then what you could do is you just say the nusach that you say that this baked item, means I know I have, let's say, rolls in my house, or I know I have a box of matzah, so I say that matzah and that hard-boiled egg that I have in my house should be, when I come home, will be set aside for my Erev Tavshilin, and then when he comes home, he sets it aside. The thing with that Eitzah is that there's a Shaila, could you then make a Bracha? Shlomo Zalman, in two different Tshuvas, the two different Mechtavim that he wrote, in one place he said you really can't make a Bracha, and the other one he was uncertain. So he ends off, he says, HaMavarech Lo Hifsid V'Ha'ena Mavarech Yisbarech. So it's not clear if you can make a Bracha in that case, but you certainly, if that would be, you can do that. The other eights that the Magen Avraham already gives is that you could take any food that you have, bring it over to your neighbor, give it to your neighbor as a matana, and then your neighbor could cook all the food for you. So if you really want to get out of cooking, you say, oh, I forgot to make it Erev Tavshilin, here's all my food, could you cook it for me? As a last resort, we come back to what was mentioned before, and that is, we know, as the Mechaber says, based on the Gemara, that every Gadol Shabi'ir should make an Erev and have in mind everybody. Now, you hope that the Rav knows how to make an Erev for everybody else, because he has to be mezakeh it with somebody else who is not his wife and not his children who are semech al shulchanai. So he has to really go to his neighbor and ask the neighbor to be mezakeh the Erev Tavshilin for Kol B'nei Iroi. And then it works. So we mentioned at the outset the famous din that the Mishmura brings, that a person could rely on the Gadol Shabir, could rely on the Rav's Erev. That's only the first time he forgets. Chol ze bepam rishon, Mishmura writes as if konachot beis. Avol, im beregel hasheni shokach, oid pam have a kippay sheya, shenikhu shenichor ledvar mitzvah, and therefore it doesn't work. So I think there's confusion with this Mishmura. That's it, you get two shots, and that's it, two strikes and you're out. You forgot once, if you got another time, you're done for life. So Mavur in the Rishonim is not like that. It's Mavur that it's only if it's two in a row. And if you forgot, let's say, on Erev Rosh Hashanah to make an Erev Tavshilin, and then, I rely on the Gadol Shabir, I rely on the Rav's Erev. Then comes Erev Sukkos, and you blow it again, you didn't do it, that would be considered a Peshaya, and according to Mishabura, you wouldn't be able to rely on the Rav's Erev Tavshilin. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that nowadays, Bizmanenu, that Anachnu Terudim, is even before Prozac, but the Aruch HaShulchan writes that nowadays we're so Terud, he says that we're never considered a Peshaya. Even if we get one Yom Tov, the next Yom Tov, you can always rely on the Gadol Shabir. He says that's why the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring down this Halacha, because we're already so Terudim that it's never considered a Peshaya. The last halacha is that the minig is that the balabayis, the head of the household, makes the Erev Tavshilin, and he covers everybody, his wife, his children, his guests. So there's a question, what about married children? Should they make their own Erev or not? So, as a practical eitzah, they can be mishtatev and make the father-in-law, the head of the household, as a shliach to include them in the Erev, that they have their own Erev. Because certainly they're going to be lighting their own candles, maybe they'll have to do hoitzah, so it's best to make their own Erev. And if they're going to do their own Erev, in that case where already the head of the household is making, they should make the Erev without a bracha. If the Erev gets lost, someone doesn't know what happened to it anymore, or one of the kids ate the matzah and used the egg as a baseball, and it's no longer in existence, no longer edible, less than a kazayis is left. So in that case, what do you do? So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, in that case, you really you don't have an heir anymore. You're stuck. Well, let's say somebody has to go on Yom Tov to a hospital, so he's not in a place where he has access to his eruv. In that case, he's stuck. But we always have the Rav's Erev. What's the Shiloh over there? Mr. Bura already bavarns the question. Maybe since I made my own Erev, I was Megala Das, maybe I showed that I don't want to use the Rav's Erev. Kamash Milan, that's not the case. You could have two Erevs, the one I made and the one the Rav made. So in case it does get eaten or lost, you always have the Rav's Erev to rely on. Okay, we'll stop over here. Any questions?
Okay. I don't hear it so well. Maybe.